A Force When We're Together, written by Lishi Bebes, read by Mary. Pairing Merlin Gwain. Summary: sometimes asking for it is the hardest part. Content notes: dominant submission, bondage, paddling, flogging, great big heart eyes. Notes: same verses, safe words, set some months earlier. Thanks to my lovely betas, Isis Anubis, and New Breed. Disclaimer: not mine, just playing. Heed the content notes. Gwain has something ugly inside him. It's not a problem most of the time. He's pretty sure everyone has it or something like it. But there are times when it gets too much, like an itch under his skin. It reminds him of being a teenager, before he fell into the scene via a drop-dead gorgeous older woman whose taste for spanking went a bit deeper than Gwain realized at the time. He remembers being like this all the time, irritable and testy and unable to see the good in himself, let alone the good in the rest of the world. His temper bubbles up from the surface, escaping in curt replies and a permanent, unintentional scowl on his face. He can see it happening, can feel the cool touch of Merlin's disappointment, but he can't stop himself. It's different with Merlin, and up until now it's been better different. But now all he can see is good in Merlin and bad in himself, and he's almost afraid to bring this to Merlin, this dark, thrumming thing in the back of his mind, for fear of tainting him or something equally stupid. Even through the heavy weight of his moods, Gwain's aware enough to wonder if this is going to be a problem, this gap in his trust. Because the bald truth is that while he might tell himself it's to keep Merlin away from all things unpleasant, natural instinct, no changing that, it's more like, if he goes to Merlin with this, it'll be to say, help me, fix this, take it away, make it quiet just for a while. Which leaves him wide open to the secret fear that maybe Merlin won't, can't, doesn't think Gwain's worth fixing. He shouldn't assume, shouldn't take that choice out of Merlin's hands, but the doubt is there nonetheless. Will you just relax? Merlin demands, after Gwain has turned up tense and irritable for the second time in a week. They're sitting on the sofa in Merlin's flat, which, normally Merlin's flat, flipped the rafters with his presence, is Gwain's favorite place to be. Tonight he feels anxious and edgy, like his skin is a size too small for his body. Can't, Gwain snaps, his voice unintentionally sharp. Merlin's on him inside a heartbeat, leaning over him, thumb and forefinger hard on the inside of Gwain's jaw, nails digging in just a fraction. Gwain lets out a breath and his eyes fall closed. He can feel the stillness spreading through Merlin, that special kind of stillness. You only have to ask, Merlin says, gently, reproachful. When you need it, you only have to ask. Please, Gwain says immediately. Please, just, I need you to. What? Merlin asks, sliding his hand from Gwain's jaw to his hair, grabbing a handful and tugging it hard. What do you need? That hurt me. Make it quiet. Just please. There's a silence, and then Merlin releases his grip on Gwain's hair. Go into the bedroom, he says. Shut the curtains, take off your clothes, and kneel at the foot of the bed with your hands behind your head. That's enough for Gwain to let out a helpless little sigh, and the roar in his head already quieting a little. In the bedroom, he draws the curtains and strips quickly, anxious to get on his knees. Once he has and has woven his fingers together behind his head, he feels marginally better. He listens carefully to Merlin moving in the other room, focuses on his breathing. Merlin doesn't keep him waiting long, but when he enters the bedroom and shuts the door behind him with a soft click, he stays behind Gwain, out of his eyeline. Gwain bites his lips, telling himself to just wait. Just wait. Don't speak, Merlin says after a moment. You can make as much noise as you want, but I don't want a single word out of you. Do you understand? Gawain nods sharply, just once. Good boy. Gawain flinches a little at the phrase because he's not good, but he wants to be so much. And Merlin can help him. Gawain's sure of it. Merlin's quick to cuff him. The wide leather ones make Gawain think with a pleasurable shiver of manacles. They're lined with fleece, but if Gawain holds a certain position, he can feel the rough edge of the leather at his wrists and forearms. The chain between the cuffs is short. Only the spreader bars restrict his range of movement more. Gawain feels a surge of love for Merlin. He just knows Gawain so well, even when Gawain is unable to say it for himself. In the center of the chain, there's a wider link, a large circle, and as Merlin threads a rope through it, Gawain's heart starts beating, slow and hard, the rabbity flutter replaced by something better. There's a circle of metal in the ceiling, probably barely noticeable to most people, but Gawain is always aware of it. Always. He knows Merlin has fed the other end of the rope through it even before he starts pulling on it, getting rid of the slack. He doesn't move his hands, just lets Merlin do as he wishes. Lets his arms be pulled above his head, let the pressure of his wrists drag him stumbling to his feet. When Merlin's done, Gawain is not quite on tiptoe, but his feet aren't quite flat on the floor either. It's fine for now, but Gawain's already anticipating the burn in his calves that will come before too long. Do you want a blindfold? Gawain shakes his head and Merlin waits a moment. Gag? Merlin is trying to give him an out. Maybe thinks Gawain can't follow through on his promise not to speak. Gawain shakes his head again, stubborn. Maybe a little hurt. All right. Eyes forward, Merlin says. You can close them if you want, but don't try to look around. Gawain gives another nod and fixes his gaze on the curtained window at the head of Merlin's bed. Merlin's hands fall to Gawain's hips for a moment, holding him steady. His fingers curl around the bone, and Gawain lets out a shuddering breath. We're going to start slowly, Merlin tells him. No room for negotiation. Slow is the last thing Gawain wants right now. He wants it all, wants to get straight to that place where pain and pleasure and nothingness collide. But he's not going to complain, not going to decide he knows better. They do indeed start slow, painfully so. Merlin's hands skim up and down his sides, almost light enough to tickle. It makes Gawain shiver, then outright shake when Merlin retraces the path with his fingertips. God, you really need it, don't you? Gawain nods frantically, and Merlin says, okay. Okay, but you have to calm down first. Need you to relax. Let me take care of you. Gawain heaves another shaky sigh and nods. Good. I know what you need, and I will give it to you when you're ready for it. I'm ready, Gawain wants to scream. I'm so fucking ready. Just do it. He bites down hard on the words and feels Merlin's hand settle on his ribs, reading his breath like braille. One hand slips around to fondle Gawain gently. He's not hard yet, and Merlin's hand around the softness of his dick makes Gawain shiver with vulnerable and want his. Merlin's foot taps against Gawain's instep, and he widens the stance without further prompting. Finally, finally, Gawain can feel some of the ugly tension bleeding out of him, and he lets a deep breath steady this time. That's it, Merlin says. He sounds proud and pleased, and all the thing Gawain wants desperately to make him feel. They continue that way for a bit, Merlin's hands touching where they please, Gawain fighting the urge to lean into it. Merlin kisses the back of Gawain's shoulder over his tattoo. Merlin's always been fascinated by the lines and curves of it, and has said more than once that he wishes he had been there to see it inked into place. One day, Gawain promises himself, one day he'll get another, and Merlin will be there, soothing him through the buzz. Finally, when Gawain feels warmed all over by Merlin's hands, tingles spreading over his skin. Merlin steps back, and Gawain hears the rattle of a drawer opening behind him. His breath speeds up again, and this time Merlin doesn't reprimand him. There's a couple noises behind him, things being set down. One is like a clunk, wood on wood. Paddle, Gawain thinks. The other noise is softer, and Gawain isn't sure what it is. Whip? Flogger? Belt? Could be almost anything. Gawain hopes for the flogger, because that's Merlin's specialty, if the word isn't too silly. The one he uses most often is black leather, the thongs soft, almost suede soft, and about a third of them have little knots tied in the end. Gawain knows every little detail of it, has played with it, has held it, kissed it, crawled on all fours to Merlin with the braided handle between his teeth, and Merlin wields it like a professional, masterful and precise, to cause pain or pleasure, or any of the countless shades in between. There's a pause then, silence in the room. Gawain can't feel anything other than the cuffs around his wrist, the thick carpet under his toes. If he focuses hard, he can hear Merlin breathing, low and controlled. He'd love to see it, the serenity that settles on Merlin like comfortable clothes. It's a beautiful thing, and Merlin knows Gawain thinks so. When you need this, you only have to ask. Maybe this, eyes forward, don't look. Maybe this is his punishment. Gawain waits for the breathless moment when he feels the soft caress of polished wood on his back, starting at the nape of his neck and trailing down his spine to the curve of his arse. Paddle, he thinks to himself. Smooth, shiny wood that feels so soft. The first strike is gentle, on the meatiest part of his backside, not jarring enough for Gawain to do more than exhale. Merlin carries on like that for a little while, soft slaps, hardly more than the pressure of his hand would be. It goes on a good long while like that, the sound of the blows gradually rising, becoming sharper, while a few land high up on his thighs. Merlin mostly keeps the strikes on Gawain's arse. He doesn't quite alternate between left and right cheeks, sometimes bridging the crease, stinging softer skin just a bit. Gawain moves his hands a little, curving his wrists inside the manacles, feeling the first stretched ache along his calves and the inside of his upper arms. He's not expecting it when he feels Merlin's fingers between his cheeks, knee pressed into Gawain's inner thigh to push his legs wider apart. Merlin's fingers are slick already, pushing into Gawain with no sense of hesitation. There's little sexual about it, not yet. Just another touch, another sense of Merlin's mastery. Gawain feels Merlin's fingers, too, he thinks. Press deeper and stretch at his rim, the press of Merlin's palm into his reddened skin, shock a cry out of him, one that might have become fuck given half a chance, only he bites it off. Certain Merlin's notice and approves of his restraint, if that quick stroke of the paddle over heated skin is anything to go by. Merlin's next paddle blow lands more on the side of Gawain's arse, making him tense and clench around the long, elegant length of his fingers. Gawain's aching to look at Merlin, so he screws his eyes tightly shut and chokes out a moan when the next stroke of the paddle has a slight upward cast to it, catching the underside of Gawain's arse, feels like it's beating Merlin's fingers deeper into him. Merlin alternates between finger-fucking him and placing light, deliberate blows with the paddle. Gawain's feeling nicely warmed up by the time Merlin withdraws his fingers, the layers of heat from the paddle long since turned into a burn. I'm gonna hurt you now, Merlin says, and the words are like something electric, curling low in Gawain's belly. Remember, Merlin tells him, you are not to speak unless you are telling me to slow down or stop. Gawain nods once, lets Merlin take his time. Keep count, Merlin adds, silently. And then the first proper blow lands, stinging. One, Gawain thinks desperately. One. He knows Merlin will ask once he's done. And if Gawain gets it wrong, Merlin will likely start all over again. Gawain glances down at himself, utterly unsurprised to find he's hard, with no idea of when that happened. The second blow falls in the exact same spot as the first, the sound ringing in the bedroom, mixing with Gwen's wordless, "Because he can do this, damn it," shout. The next blow comes faster, lands lower, the bottom edge of the paddle just catching the top of Gwen's thighs. Number four makes him stumble, suddenly tug on his arms. Merlin's always silent during these parts, like he's concentrating on Gwen with absolutely everything he has. "How many?" Merlin asks some immeasurable period of time later. "You may answer." Gwen thinks for a moment, wanting to be sure, wanting it to be right. He works his jaw a little and says, 11. Merlin would never make it so easy as to stick to an increment of half a dozen. "Very good," Merlin tells him. "Are you ready to move on?" Gwen almost blurts out, "Yes," but catches himself in time because Merlin said, "You may answer, not you may speak," and nods instead, and Merlin makes a pleased sound. "Move your fingers," Merlin says, and while the words make sense, Gwen just can't see why, doesn't want to move anywhere, just wants to stay where he is, Merlin filling all his senses. "Gwen," Merlin says insistently, fingers on his face, brushing sweat and maybe a tear or two off of his cheeks. "Can you make a fist?" Gwen just nods. "I don't want to hear a single word out of you," and Merlin says, "Go on then, show me." Gwen does, fisting both hands tight in his cuffs. "Good boy," Merlin says, skimming his hands over Gwen's arm, squeezing the stretched muscles just a little. This time Gwen doesn't flinch, just sinks deeper into himself, thinking, "I love you, I love you, I love you, make me better." "I wouldn't bother to keep counting this time," Merlin says, a flicker of amusement in his voice. Gwen tries it first anyway, but Merlin is a tricky bugger, and sometimes he makes the flogger whistle through the air in a way that has Gwen bracing for a white-hot flare of agony, only for the ends of the flogger to just barely tickle between his shoulder blades. It's easy for Gwen to lose himself, keeping only what's important. This moment right here, made up of pain and satisfaction and warmth. It's strange the way he does and doesn't feel the blows. In one way, he feels every single one, can visualize the way his skin would shift, the give of his flesh under pressure, the white, then red lines that would spring up in the wake of the strike. But in another, it seems to be only the occasional blow that really properly registers when the pain feels like it should instead of like a burst of heat all over. One across the small of his back feels like fire. One at a different angle, two of the knotted ends whipping around and biting into his ribs. One across his arse, fire on top of heat from the paddle. Gwen doesn't know which one has reduced him to it, but he's breathing heavy and slow, his pulse echoing in his ears, not a single thought in his head, but being good, being still, and wordless, and good. He can't quite keep up with the stance that Merlin has nudged him into, and he has to fight to keep his feet under him. All his muscles feel liquid and hot, like the complete shutdown that comes after he runs as fast as he can for as long as he can. Beyond that comes a point where every breath is edged with a moan, every beat of his heart echoes over every inch of his skin. He knows Merlin is probably breathing hard by this point too, from the exertion if nothing else, but he can't hear it. He has a sense of Merlin though, like the tactile equivalent of static, like a touch so familiar and expected that you barely notice for ages at a time. The hurts, arms, wrists, back, arse, calves, jaw from clenching to keep in words, lips where maybe he bit down as Merlin landed a blow, are changing now, becoming more like a glow than anything else. Gwen can never describe this bit, calls it floating or lying in clouds, because it feels like how he's imagined a cloud would be when he was a child. Soft and warm, endless caresses, and it's like every hot flare of should-be pain from the flogger is just this cloud rolling and shifting in the wind. And then the rolling stops and everything is still. Merlin's arms go around his waist, the press of his shirt and trousers against the abused skin of Gwen's back and arse, or a fresh wave of pain that make him whine, high and trembling. "Shh," Merlin says. "Shh, shh, oh God, shh." He's kissing the side of Gwen's throat, his jaw, his wet cheeks. "Gwen, baby, you still with me?" Gwen manages a sluggish nod. The tension in the rope gives, and his whole body sags, raw and oversensitive. Merlin holds him easily, deceptive strength in those lean muscles. He drops kisses into the sweaty skin at Gwen's nape. "Good boy," he says. "Good boy. You did so well." Gwen shudders with pleasure because he believes that now, believes in himself, in Merlin, in what they have. He desperately wants to tell Merlin that he loves him like he's never loved another, needs him like he needs air. Words couldn't possibly do it justice, though, and anyway, Merlin said no words. He lets his head drop back instead, baring his throat for Merlin. He feels the flat of Merlin's teeth against his neck, feels hot breath on his skin. "Little more," Merlin tells him, undoing the cuffs. "Just a little more. I want to fuck you." Gwen nods again, dreamy. Lets Merlin walk him forward to the bed, onto his knees, his aching back sloping down to where he has his shoulders on the bed. "You can talk," Merlin offers. And Gwen bites his lips, shakes his head. Nothing to say. No words that could come close. Merlin touches his arms, just a fleeting brush of the fingers, but it radiates understanding, and Gwen closes his eyes, lets Merlin hitch his hips a little higher. He waits like that, not thinking, not counting heartbeats, not even waiting, just there. He feels Merlin move away. Here's a different drawer open this time. "Condom," he thinks. And then Merlin's there, weight dipping into the bed behind Gwen, long-fingered hand on his hips, always so sure. The stretching from earlier is done enough, but only just, and Gwen can feel his body straining to accept the hard length of Merlin's cock inside. Merlin doesn't pause, just pushes in and in and in until it feels deep and huge and scary, like his body's not his anymore. It's Merlin's. Scary good, though. Jesus, yes, it's good. Gwen comes at some point, and it's totally secondary to Merlin's hands curled around his hips, anchoring him. To Merlin filling him up again and again and again. The smack of Merlin's hips into his arse heats his skin like a warm down at the end of a workout. Gwen rubs his face against the sheets, a cotton cool on his hot cheeks. That's it. Stay there. Stay down. Take it. Merlin's voice reaches him through a soft haze, and Gwen makes a noise of agreement. Fingers spread wide against the sheets. When Merlin's fingers curl around his own, Gwen squeezes, and Merlin fucks into him once, twice, before he shivers against Gwen, and his body locks down hard, silent and tight like he always is when he comes. The next time Gwen's really properly aware, he's in Merlin's arms, half on top of him, Merlin's fingers gentle in his hair along the back of his neck. Any unmarked spot he can find on Gwen's body. Gwen turns his head just a fraction, kisses Merlin's chest under his mouth. "You're wonderful," Merlin tells him low in secret. "You're so good, Gwen." Later, Merlin disappears for a few minutes, talking all the time so Gwen can track the sound of his voice, even when it has to compete with the sound of running water. When Gwen starts to shiver a bit, Merlin gently steers him into the bath. Washes his body, his hair, his face. Gwen's eyes trustingly open until Merlin prompts him, and then maybe there's even more trust in keeping them closed. Ever so gentle on his back, Merlin's fingers tracing on one of the soothing washes he uses. Gwen doesn't know where Merlin gets them from, but they feel nice, feel cooler than water, but warmer than the air. Much, much later even than that, Merlin's just starting to fall asleep when Gwen says, "Next time." Merlin looks at him, his face blurred in the dark. "Yes?" "Next time. I promise to ask."